This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, how are state leaders working to protect people of faith in their state in the wake of the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage? Governor Sam Brownback of Kansas issued an executive order this week that protects clergy and churches from punitive state actions if they choose not to perform same-sex ceremonies. He joins me with the latest in just a moment. And Congress isn't sitting back as the High Court redefined marriage. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri is here to highlight the First Amendment Defense Act, which Congress says is needed to protect Americans. That's coming up. Also, have the pulpits of America been awakened? Pastors all over the country are making clear they will not yield to the Supreme Court or anyone else that seeks to redefine marriage. Senior pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, Jonathan Falwell, joins me to discuss the line he's drawn on marriage. All that and more is coming up on this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Let me encourage you, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest and our topics. Also, you can sign up for my daily update and find out more about the Values Voter Summit coming up here in Washington, D.C., September the 25th through the 27th. All that right there at tonyperkins.com. If you're on social media, you can follow me on Twitter at @tperkins. All right. Well, look, in light of the Supreme Court redefining marriage, state leaders are trying to find ways to protect our first freedom, the freedom of religion. Kansas Governor Sam Brownback is the latest in this effort. On Tuesday, he signed an executive order that will protect the clergy and the churches from the state taking punitive actions against them if they refuse to participate in same-sex ceremonies. Governor Brownback stated, quote, "We have a duty to govern and to govern in accordance with the Constitution as it has been determined by the Supreme Court decision. We also recognize that religious liberty is at the heart of who we are as Kansans and as Americans and should be protected," end quote. Here's my earlier conversation with Kansas Governor Sam Brownback. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to join you.
And also looking forward to having you at this year's Values Voter Summit coming up in September.
Yeah, same here. I look forward to coming back. I didn't realize it had been 10 years ago since the first one of those happened. It's always a great draw, and I would think this year with as many presidential candidates as there are, you'll have a big house of people and a lot of presidential candidates. It'll be a very interesting session.
Yeah, I think just the presidential candidates themselves may sell out the tickets. I mean, who knows how many we'll have by that time. Any chance you might be among them?
I don't think that's probably going to happen. I got my hands full here, and boy, there's enough things to work on now, isn't there, with what the Supreme Court did and everything else that's going on in the country. It's what we're trying to do in Kansas is really try to chart a path that's the old proven American way, and it keeps getting harder.
Now, you yesterday issued an executive order after you had time to review the ramifications of the Supreme Court's decision on June the 26th, and you have taken a step in terms of protecting the clergy and churches from imminent attack from those that would come in and say, hey, we want to do a same-sex wedding, and they say no. This executive order, and correct me if I'm wrong, this executive order, similar in fashion to the one that Governor Bobby Jindal did, only restricts the government from becoming or taking discriminatory action against a church or a pastor. Is that correct?
That's correct. It just, what it does is it says that the apparatuses of government of the state of Kansas will not be used to prosecute or to investigate clergy or religious organizations if they choose not to participate in same-sex marriages. It's just about the entities of state government being used against religious institutions in Kansas.
Now, you, in your state, in fact, you signed into law the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is completely separate from this. This, again, and it's been, there's a lot of confusion because when this was attempted in Louisiana legislatively, They tried to blur the lines and twist it and say that this was getting into personal interaction, and it only deals with the state becoming an actor in this and taking negative action toward a church or a pastor. What are your concerns going forward and how this might play out in your state of Kansas?
Well, I think my concerns are the same ones that you saw expressed by the Supreme Court in the minority opinion and by a number of other people saying, okay, now the Supreme Court has declared this as a constitutional right on marriage by same-sex individuals. Now what about religious liberty issues if you choose to, if an individual or couple chooses to pursue those aggressively in legal actions? You're seeing a number of those taking place in the commercial marketplace, and now people saying, what about with religious institutions? That question came up during the oral arguments of this case, and you know, one of the and the advocate in the case said, well, that's going to be something that has to be looked at and considered. And I think that all has kind of sent a shudder across the faith community across America, saying, well, wait a minute, don't we have religious liberty protections? And what this, my effort here is to express that, yes, in the state of Kansas, you're not going to see the entities of state government used against your religious liberty protections when it comes to the issue of same-sex marriage. Tony, you're going to see a lot of things come out of the Supreme Court decision, and you're just really at the opening salvos of it. I just think there's going to be a lot of questions coming forward. What I'm trying to do is address one on religious liberty here for religious institutions and individuals.
You know, Governor Brown, making reference to the Supreme Court's dissenting opinions in the majority opinion written by Justice Kennedy, they give a passing nod to religious freedom that, you know, that has to be respected. There are people that hold those views and so on and so forth. I think it was a little shallow. And it almost followed the same thinking that the president has held, that religious freedom is something that, you know, yeah, you can go to church, you can worship how you want to, but religious freedom, the First Amendment, it extends to every citizen. It's not limited to churches or religious organizations any more than the Second Amendment is limited to gun clubs. What do you do going forward to protect the religious liberties of other citizens in the state of Kansas who are outside, say, the clergy or a religious organization proper?
Well, I think that's the sort of thing now that people have to look at. You have to hold hearings on it. It's going to be matters of litigation. These things are already stirring in the courts. And you've got this fundamental value, this fundamental right that the Founding Fathers came here in search of, right, on religious liberty. And during the years that I was in the Congress and in the Senate, this is one of the things I fought for a lot for people overseas, was religious liberty and religious freedom, because it's one of these basic hallmarks of a society that allows you to develop societally. And now you're looking at this very fundamental right being attacked in the United States. It was an odd, I guess, circumstance for me to start fighting for this at home when I'd been primarily in the Congress fighting for it overseas.
Yeah, you never thought it would be under attack here at home, but in fact,
no,
it is. It is very much at risk here in our own country. Governor Brownback, I'm going to ask you to put on your political cap for just a moment. And when you look at what's happened, what's transpired over the last 7 years, there's no question in my view that this would not have happened had it not been the president using his bully pulpit to push this agenda forward.
I don't know if you can say that definitely, but the president up until 2012 didn't support same-sex marriage, and then does going into that presidential cycle. So you just see this enormous shift taking place on a very rapid basis. That's why I just think really right now the key thing for people to be discussing and looking at is really the issue of religious liberties, because that's kind of the next major series of battles going on, and I hope we can get presidential candidates on certainly on the Republican side, but also on the Democrat side, to stand up and say religious liberty is important, and it's a fundamental right, and it's one that needs to be protected in this country. This is a really big issue that needs to be front and center in this presidential debate.
I agree, and we're going to do what we can to make sure that it is an issue in this cycle. Governor Brownback, in the next legislative session when the Kansas legislature comes back, will this executive order that you did, this is temporary, will you be pushing for legislation to make this a statutory protection?
I'm going to be talking with the legislators about it. And again, my hope is that people also can hold a series of hearings about this, because I think until recently, this has been kind of an abstract issue.
Right.
That people say, well, yeah, there might be some conflicts that will come up, but it probably won't arise that much. And then you're already seeing this in many ways and places. So what I hope that people will do is a series of hearings on it to see the real nature of it, and then also flesh it out in the hearings. Because what happens on some of these statutes, and you've seen it in several other states, is they get painted as this broad brush infringement on somebody else's desires.
Right, right.
That you really need, I think, to have that thought out, dealt with in a lot of hearings, hammered out, so that then it can stand the public scrutiny. And I think that's just going to be critically important on the discussion of religious liberty. You know, Tony, when I've been working on religious liberty for a long time, these have never been controversial.
Right.
Until the last couple of years.
Until now.
And they were bipartisan supported. Right. Religious Freedom Restoration Act federally was a bipartisan piece of legislation.
Governor, we're up against a break. I thank you for joining us. Thank you for protecting religious liberty, and we'll be checking back in with you real soon.
Thanks, Tony. God bless you all.
Again, that was Kansas Governor Sam Brownback. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. Also, while you're there, be sure and check out information about the Values Voter Summit coming up September the 25th through the 27th right here in Washington, D.C., an event you will not want to miss. Again, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, don't go away. When we come back, Congress is also taking action to protect religious freedom. That's next when we return with Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
Do the Supreme Court justices have the final say in the marriage debate? Here at Family Research Council, we advocate and promote one man, one woman marriage on Capitol Hill, at the state and local level, and in the public square. FRC created a website, freetobelieve.com/marriage, where you can find many resources, like 10 myths about redefining marriage, and what you need to know about marriage, and more. Again, please visit freetobelieve.com/marriage.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us this weekend. Look, it has become more and more obvious that we need further protection for people of faith in this country regarding the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, in the wake of the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage. It's not just that the left wants to shut down businesses. They literally want to shut down the entire conversation. Well, thankfully, many members of Congress are not going to sit idly by, but they're making sure our First Amendment, freedom of religion, and the freedom of speech stay just that, free. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, who represents the 4th Congressional District of Missouri, joined me earlier this week. Vicki, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be here.
Now, Congresswoman, I know that you're a strong advocate and supporter of the First Amendment Protection Act, which has been introduced, the Defense Act. What are the prospects now? Well, first off, tell our listeners exactly what it would do, and then what are the prospects that Congress are going to take this up in the wake of this decision by the court?
Sure. Well, it's a very, very critical piece of legislation now that we have seen the Supreme Court ruling. And what the First Amendment Defense Act does is it would prevent government discrimination against individuals and institutions that exercise a religious belief or moral conviction regarding marriage as a union of one man or one woman, ensuring that the federal government does not discriminate regarding the tax-exempt status, regarding the issuance of contracts, or government grants, or any other rejecting a deduction for federal tax purposes, any type of government benefit that may be denied due to just simply a person's religious belief that marriage is between one man and one woman.
So it only restricts the government from taking punitive actions against an individual, organization, or business. It has nothing to do with private commerce between individuals. It's only dealing with the government.
Yes, that is correct. And it is really up to the state governments to strengthen their Religious Freedom Non-Discrimination Acts to prevent something like that happened to the Kleins. And I certainly encourage every person to contact their state legislature, make sure that they have in place a state prohibition of that. But we are going after and making sure the federal government doesn't discriminate. And I think this is so important in the light of what happened last week.
Right. And so to be very clear here, folks, this what we're talking about here, the First Amendment Defense Act, which has been introduced in the Senate by Senator Mike Lee, by Raul Labrador in the House, only deals with the federal government. This would keep the federal government from, say, taking a church's nonprofit tax-exempt status or, for instance, Catholic Charities. Maybe they provide some type of social service based on a government grant or contract. That cannot be denied them based on their view of marriage, their teaching of marriage, under the provisions of this act. It could be now without this protection. The same protections at the state level require each and every state as well to pass this type of legislation. Is that correct, Vicki?
Yes, I think that's the best route at this time, and certainly it's needed. With the Kennedy decision last week, he gave a very, very small nod to religious organizations, but basically just saying that those who adhere to religious, they continue to advocate with utmost sincere conviction that by divine precept, same-sex marriage should not be condoned, and it ensures that religious organizations and persons are given proper protection as they seek to teach the principles that are so fulfilling and central to their religious tenets. Basically, I was just shocked he would say that. It's like, well, thank you very much. I thought that's what the First Amendment gave me the right to as freedom of speech. But he only basically said that churches are free to continue to teach. So that very much puts into jeopardy whether the organizations can carry out their functions and still participate in federal grants or contracts or tax-exempt status. And I wouldn't be surprised to see someone challenge that.
Vicki, we're up against a break, but very quickly, can we expect Congress to move on this?
Well, I'm going to do everything I can. I know many of my colleagues are to get this passed. I think now the leadership will support this because they know that we've got to do this in a very short order to protect our religious institutions. And so I have a meeting first thing tomorrow when I get back to Washington with several of my colleagues, and I look forward to working with like-minded folks to get this done.
All right. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, thanks so much for being with us on this Monday afternoon.
You bet. Thank you.
That was Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, who represents the 4th Congressional District of Missouri. To find out more about Vicki and her work, go to the website tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. When we come back, Jonathan Falwell, senior pastor at Thomas Road Baptist Church, joins me to talk about the impact this decision could have upon a new generation of pastors. That's next here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Want to stay on top of the latest research relating to marriage, religion, and the family, but don't have time to scroll through pages of websites or read hundreds of emails? MARRI stands for Marriage and Religion Research Institute, and our e-list is your one-stop shop for the best research on faith and family. It's a quick read, informative, and reliable. So stop scrolling and start learning. Sign up today for MARRI's weekly updates by visiting marri.us/subscribe.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us this weekend. Again, let me mention the website, tonyperkins.com. Also, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at T Perkins. All right. Regardless of what the High Court has decided in their redefinition of marriage, there is something to be encouraged about in the way American pastors across the country have reacted to this ruling. They've reacted biblically. They've reacted by standing up and saying, we will not yield to a redefinition of marriage from the court or from anyone else. And what's interesting to me is that when you look back in the early 60s, 1963, 64, when the court took prayer and Bible out of the schools, there was a big effort. It took about a decade, but the effort began to move to get a constitutional amendment to return prayer, which gave rise to the moral majority. Could we be seeing something similar to that happening in the wake of this Supreme Court decision? Well, during a recent sermon at his church, Pastor Jonathan Falwell stated, quote, I have said it before and I'll say it again here today, just to make sure that we're clear. At Thomas Road Baptist Church, there will never be a same-sex marriage or any other form of marriage outside of being between a man and a woman conducted at this church as long as I am your pastor, end quote. Now, this is the stance of many pastors that I have spoken to. They will not conform to a redefinition of marriage, regardless of who does it. Senior pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church, Jonathan Falwell, joined me for that discussion earlier this week. Jonathan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you, my friend.
One of the things I found very interesting, and I've seen this in every case where a pastor has stood up, and I think I've watched so many messages, and I've actually used the term myself, but I think you said the government has crossed a line. Did you use that phrase?
Not specifically in those exact words, but certainly no doubt about it that, you know, the tenor and the direction of my statement, as well as other statements that other pastors have made, we're certainly and clearly there. There's no doubt about it that marriage goes back, as you know, all of recorded history. And, of course, those of us like you and me and others that are certainly listening today, the Bible's very clear that, you know, God created marriage. Genesis chapter 2, it's very clear that God made the male and female, the two shall become one flesh. The man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, the two shall become one. No doubt about it. And as I said in the statement, the very specific way that I said it is that God created marriage, therefore God gets to define marriage, not the state. And that is where we are, and there's no doubt about it that we and the church today and people of faith today, we have to take a stand. The church has not been taking a stand a lot over the last few years, and this is kind of one of those catalytic moments for the church where we finally just say, okay, enough is enough. The state has crossed the line. It's time for the church not to stand up in a way that we criticize or we stand up in anger, but we stand up with absolute, standing on God's word, with absolute fortitude here, that we are going to stand for what we believe in, we're going to preach what we believe in, but we're going to do it in love.
Let me ask you about, you just said a moment ago, the church hasn't been taking a lot of stands, and that's true. In fact, there's almost been from, I'm going to say your generation, we're almost the same age, but in response to the religious right, many younger pastors have kind of stepped back from that engagement. But when we're looking now at the consequences of that in this redefinition of something so fundamental as marriage, do you think pastors are rethinking that now?
Well, I hope so, and I think they are. There's no doubt that back in the late 70s and early 80s, pretty much all through the 80s, there were, a number of great leaders out there, of course, my dad being one, that called churches and called pastors and called people of faith to stand in the gap, to stand strong, to stand loudly and preach loudly the gospel and to stand on truth. I think that that generation, when that generation passed on into heaven, I think there was another generation behind them that, while they still believed the same thing, probably because of the attacks, probably because of the media attack on people like my dad, didn't want to necessarily stand in that same position and get attacked in the same way, and so maybe, while certainly agreeing and certainly believing the same way, weren't willing to stand out there and to stand up there and to do what, my dad and many, many others did. People like D. James Kennedy and so many others, Adrian Rogers. I think now we have a generation of pastors that are looking back and seeing that silence never results in ground being won. silence always results in ground being lost. And I think that's where we are today. I think we see it, no question, in our culture. And I think it's an opportunity, even though we certainly don't agree with the Supreme Court ruling, I think it's an opportunity for people of faith to realize that we still have a voice, and it's time to start using that voice. And I think that not only can we gain back some ground, but I think we can have some serious impact with the gospel in the culture today, where people are realizing that, yeah, this country's going a direction that it doesn't need to go.
We're up against a break, Jonathan, but quickly, another question for you. When you look, your father's generation, it was the court decision removing prayer and the Bible from the schools that galvanized the moral majority. Could this be the court decision that brings this generation to engagement?
I think it can. I think it shall be. I think it will be. I think there's no doubt that even I hear it just in the last week, I've seen a lot of young people, younger than me. I like to consider myself young, but I know that I'm not. A lot of younger people that have sent me letters, emails, phone calls, who have said these very words: we're with you, and we are going to stand in truth, truth in love. And I'm praying that that is a message that is cast across this nation, thousands upon thousands of churches with the same message, and that we see a turn back to God.
Yes. Thank you, Jonathan Falwell. We're up against a break. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Tony. Keep doing what you do, man. We appreciate you.
Again, that was Pastor Jonathan Falwell, who pastors at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and be sure to check out the Values Voter Summit coming up September the 25th through the 27th right here in Washington, D.C., an event you will not want to miss. All right, folks, we're out of time for this week. Thanks so much for joining us, and let me encourage you to join us each day, Monday through Friday, for our daily edition of Washington Watch. Again, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.